Well, Joyce certainly did a wonderful job of explaining leprosy this morning. And it's not a disease that you hear much about anymore, but it was terrible. It was a horrible disease to be afflicted with. It disfigured a person. It started out as little small white patches, and they grew and it grew, and it literally ate the person alive. It would cripple them, and it would eventually lead to death. The diagnosis in Jesus' day of this disease was a death sentence. Instead of being placed in something like today where we would, well, it's a hospice, our home care. No, they didn't do that. They took these poor people and they forced them to live in caves and out in the desert in a community. And they were sent there to share their diseases with each other and then die. And if someone who was not a leper came near them, you heard what Joyce said. Unclean, unclean. It was the haunting, scary words that would make you go away, leave that area totally. Now, these 10 lepers, did they know each other? We don't know that. They may have been joined together simply because they had a common illness. But they knew Jesus. And we often forget how well known Jesus was throughout the region. And when you think about that, how did that occur? It wasn't written about. Everything was word of mouth. And that's how his greatness grew. Now, to these lepers, this was an opportunity that never, ever should present itself. But they had a chance, a slim chance, of maybe getting near Jesus Christ with the hope that he would heal them, perhaps. So they took the chance. They jumped at it. As Jesus was going into their village, the 10 lepers came out to meet him. And, of course, standing at a far distance from him, which was, of course, required by law, they shouted, "Jesus! Master, have mercy on us." Now that's interesting because they didn't describe what was wrong with them. They didn't describe their illness. They just yelled, "Master, have mercy on us," because they knew. Jesus already knew what the problem was. He's all powerful. He's all-knowing. So he was addressing a situation that he understood. He heard them. He heard their screaming. They were not in any doubt at all that he could cure them. He gave them a blessing beyond their expectations. This was an opportunity beyond their wildest imaginations. If anyone could change their lives, they knew Jesus could change their lives. And if anybody could mercifully remove their deadly disease, Jesus could. If anyone could do the impossible, it was the man, Jesus Christ. For the lepers, the only way that they could contact him was at a distance by yelling his name, asking for his mercy. That was their cry. Now, this is interesting. What does Jesus do? Does he go over to them as he did different people? Did he hold their hand? Did he bless them? Did he do the thing with his spit in the mud and putting it on? No. He just yelled back, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, I'm sure there were people in the audience that went, "Why? What's this for?" But the lepers knew exactly what to do. They didn't say, "What? Why? Huh? What?" They went immediately. Now, here's the interesting thing. On their way, they looked at each other, and they were changing. The disease began to leave their bodies. They became excited. It left their arms. It left their hands. It left their legs. Oh, my goodness. We're being healed. And they hadn't even made it to the priest. And again, all the priest would do in this situation is to clear them to return. But that was the staggering idea here. They could, did you catch that word? Return. They could return to their home. They could return to their loved ones. They could return to their families, to their children. They could sit at their own table. All of the things that they lost forever, Jesus Christ had given them back. And you see, it was his command to return to the priest. It was within that command that caused the miracle. Now, I would love to have seen that. That must have been quite a sight. What a scene. They start out on their journey covered with leprosy, but as they're walking, they see themselves being healed. Nine of them hurry on their way because they can't wait to show themselves to the priest. The sooner they get to the priest and he examines them and determines they are clean, the sooner they can go home to their family. What a day of rejoicing! What a reunion. However, one of the ten stops. He looks at himself, and then he turns around. He restarts his journey all over. Yet instead of hurrying home, he runs to Jesus. He steps go faster and faster and closer. His excitement gets more and more intense as he gets closer to Christ. Then he throws himself at the Lord's feet. He clings to Christ. And he says, "Thank you. Thank you." I can't imagine what the crowd would have thought. For here was a man who knew what it meant to give thanks. He really felt it. Here was a man who's understanding the concept of thanksgiving. So the question for us, do we understand what true heartfelt faith-inspired thanksgiving is? Do you come to the giver so as to get a gift? Or do you get a gift which in getting it compels you to go to the giver? Another way of saying this is, what do you care about? I know you like gifts. We all enjoy gifts. But the ten lepers, they enjoyed it, but only one said, "Thank you." In contrast to this, the one leper took the chance to return. But here's what is fascinating in this story. If you recall, the person who returned was a Samaritan. And so you say, so? And let me make an excerpt here, and this is kind of a little blurb here, about the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews hated Samaritans. Why? Well, the Samaritans were considered to be half-breeds. Ever since the fall of the Jewish kingdom in 500, give or take, B.C., they separated. They were half-breeds because they did not keep the marriage sacred. They intermarried, oh my, with other nationalities. They believed that the mountain of God was the mountain of Gerizim, which is near Shechem, which is in the middle of Samaria, where the Jews said, no, it's not. It's in Jerusalem. It's Zion. The Samaritans did not believe in the Bible. Oh, they believed the first five books of Moses, but they didn't believe in the prophets, which in turn caused the Jews to hate them for worshiping false gods. So there was every reason in the world why Jesus Christ would say, did I do this by accident? Did I really heal a Samaritan? Remember, Jews would not even walk through the country of Samaria. They would go around it. They would add 2 days to their trip just to make sure they did not get the dirt of Samaria on their sandals. But why did Jesus select a Samaritan? And why was the one who should not have returned, returned? And that's the essence of the story that we deal with today. Those who give thanks, those who care, those who go back to the giver. And we must all admit here today that we've been given gifts, many, many gifts. We receive gifts that we don't even acknowledge because we're so used to the gifts. So the message is clear. Let us remember to begin to giving thanks. Let us set aside a time or a part of the day that we should say, thank you, God, for all the gifts that you have given us. And now may the grace of God that surpasses all human understanding protect your hearts and minds to life eternal through Christ Jesus. Amen.